Welcome to KGNU's Morning Magazine. It's Thursday, July 21st of 2022. I'm your host, Shannon Young. Thank you for joining us here on listener-supported community radio. Coming up on today's program, Boulder's City Council will discuss the extension of a climate tax this evening. We'll hear about an energy efficiency program the tax helps to fund. This time on the Cannabis Report, marijuana correspondent Leland Rucker discusses updated research into off-work cannabis use and new protections in Colorado for some working cannabis users. And John Lindorf will be in the studio to catch us up on local food news. At the bottom of the hour, we'll have the BBC News headlines. Then it's the Trends Podcast. Today, host Rosanna Longobetter will take us on a tour of Jack's Solar Garden to learn more about how community solar can increase access to clean energy technologies and address climate change. Then at 9:30, Brian Easter will be in the Boulder studio to bring you 2.5 hours of eclectic music with the Morning Sound Alternative. All that's still ahead, but first, these local and regional headlines with KGNU's Christian Garibay.
Details are emerging about a police shooting that injured 6 people this weekend near Coors Field in downtown Denver. Police fired shots into a crowd of people outside of a Larimer beer hall, reportedly in response to seeing a man brandishing a gun. 6 people, including 5 bystanders and the man who allegedly flashed the gun, were wounded and hospitalized. Bystanders hurt in the shooting have told reporters they first learned through the media their gunshot wounds resulted from police fire. A Denver law firm has filed an official complaint to the police department on behalf of 2 of the people who police shot. So far, police are refusing to release body cam footage despite a new Colorado law that requires police to share footage within 21 days of an incident. Multiple events this week will commemorate the 10th anniversary of the Aurora Theater mass shooting. The gunman killed 12 people and wounded dozens more. The commemorative events include the Hero's Journey 5K this Saturday at the RTD Aurora Metro Center Station, a reflection ceremony which includes a reading of the names of the victims at the Aurora Municipal Center at 15151 East Alameda Parkway, and an immersive audio-visual event called Metamorphosis, also at the Aurora Municipal Center. The Colorado State Patrol evacuated the State Capitol building in Denver yesterday in response to a bomb threat. In a statement published on Twitter, Capitol Police say the evacuation measure was out of an abundance of caution for a bomb threat, while security personnel determined the credibility of the threat. Police gave the all-clear and reopened the building just under an hour later after dogs and security swept the building. Colorado State Police indicate they received word of the threat from another agency. Colorado Governor Jared Polis signed an executive order to support volunteer firefighters and emergency responders this week. The order calls for state agencies to provide 5 days of paid leave for employees who volunteer to protect communities in danger of wildfires. This order comes after wildfire experts say that fire season is now year-round. Governor Jared Polis is encouraging many employers all across the state to do the same. By adding more volunteers to the fleet of state firefighters, response time to wildfires could be shortened to combat fires. Out here on the Eastern Plains, we rely on any resources we can get, and having the extra manpower will allow for more resources with equipment and personnel, says Russ Watson, Kiowa County Fire Protection District Chief. The city of Frederick raised alarm bells this week after finding unauthorized network usage in their network. In collaboration with the FBI, town officials discovered a resident had hacked into the network. They are continuing to investigate whether the hack compromised any confidential information, but they say they have secured the network and will continue to update residents. Procedural and legal setbacks on Rocky Flats Trail's reopening will not deter area groups from efforts to protect the community from contamination at former bomb plant site. Luis Licon reports.
Organizations seeking to stop the reopening of the site once used to manufacture nuclear weapons expressed disappointment after a federal appeals court decided not to order further review of environmental and public health issues. In a press release, the Rocky Mountain Peace and Justice Center stated it will continue to support legal challenges to reopening the Rocky Flats site and continue to, quote, educate the public about the site's dangers to visiting adults, school children, and residents of nearby communities, including Broomfield and Westminster. Parts of the site near Golden remain on the nation's listing of Superfund sites. For KGNU, I am Luis Licon.
Denver Mayor Michael Hancock announced plans to develop a new innovation station for entrepreneurs this week. The space will offer free Wi-Fi, opportunities for entrepreneurs to collaborate, tech programming, and spaces to make physical products. According to Denver's Innovation and Entrepreneurship Director, Michael Beavis, the space will be about 20,000 square feet. Beavis hopes the building will allow more entrepreneurs to develop and bring their ideas to life. The Public Works Department's Road Maintenance Division will temporarily shut down North 79th Street today from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. today, which is located between Lookout Road and Colorado 52. The Road Maintenance Division will close the street in order to complete paving operations along the road. The road will be closed to all commuters except for residents of the area. To find out more about the closure, detours, and other projects, visit the Boulder County website. Expect high temperatures and somewhat cloudy weather all throughout the Front Range today. In Boulder, a high of 93 and a low of 66. In Denver, a high of 96 and a low of 67. In Fort Collins, a high of 96 and a low of 66. Outside the Boulder studio, it is 65 degrees. For KGNU, I'm Christian Garibay.
You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. Boulder's City Council will discuss several proposed ballot measures when it meets tonight. Among them is a proposal to renew a climate action tax that is set to expire early next year. One of the programs the climate tax has helped to fund is the Partners for a Clean Environment, or PACE, program. Additional funding for PACE comes from Boulder County. One of the ways the PACE program has been using tax revenues to implement sustainability goals is by helping small businesses to replace outdated refrigeration and restaurant equipment with energy-efficient models. PACE offers grants that cover up to 70% of the new equipment costs and 100% of the cost of delivery and installation. Since the start of the pandemic, the program has helped over 80 businesses replace old or inefficient restaurant and grocery equipment. KGNU's Rosana Longo-Better spoke with Partners for a Clean Environment's bilingual business sustainability advisor, Norma King, about how small businesses can access support to become more energy efficient.
The taxpayers have been big support for businesses, and that's why Boulder County is trying to allocate this in a diverse and equitable way. So this funding is coming from taxes. And by the way, these taxes are about to expire soon. And the first amount that we have approved for a few years is about to expire on February 23.
I shadow Norma King into a local restaurant, Mount Everest Cuisine, to provide more services.
Hello, how are you?
My name is Radha Bhattrai, and I am a manager of this business. We did trade last year a little bit, and then it was a little too small for that equipment, especially for the frozen food. That's the reason, and then we can't keep any frozen stuff what we buy, and we have to trip like two or three times a week to the restaurant depot or the Costco or wherever. So if we get bigger one, then we can keep a little bit so we can save our trip every week. And then we just own family business. Our husband does the cooking and I do run. And we have really less time and we do have two children at the same time. And that's just important for us to give them the time a little bit and then have a little bit time ourselves. That's the reason that we want to trade the bigger equipment.
And especially right now when the gas price is higher and that we're also experiencing heat waves.
That's true.
So that means that with a bigger refrigerator,
more food, and then keep fresh food. We are very happy with Boulder County, first of all. Thank you. And we get a little bit help here and there. Last year we get help with the to-go container or like disposable bag or everything. And then we get the equipment last year that we get off like 70% off. That's really important because we have a very old equipment and then we have to calling like all the time, the people maintenance, and then we had to pay so much money for them. Since that we got the 70% off, we only have to pay 30%. That's really helpful. And then whoever is thinking to do the small business, Boulder County is the great place to do it. And then we have a lot of support from the Boulder County.
Please give me your name again.
Radha, R-A-D-H-A.
And the name of your business?
Mount Everest Cuisine.
And that's only, Rosanna, just to mitigate and buy time while we are coming up with ideas. And when we say we, it's all scientific organizations, environmentalists, people, and all together to see how we can start to the sequestration of the carbon dioxide.
I want to also make sure that people know where to go so that they can find the resources that you mentioned.
Searching for Oscar, an easy way to find it in the website, the Oscar Boulder County, which is the Office of Sustainability, Climate Action and Resilience. And very important, the programs that we are offering in PACE. PACE is the boots on the ground that provides services to small businesses to become more sustainable. And you can find us in www.pacepartners.com.
Norma King, thank you. For KGNU, I am Rosanna Longo-Better.
And now it's time for the Cannabis Report here on KGNU Community Radio. As always, I'm joined by cannabis correspondent Leland Rucker. Leland, thank you so much for being here.
Always good to be here.
Okay, so we're going to hear a little bit about some moves Colorado is making to protect cannabis users using cannabis after work, off the job.
Yeah, you know, one of the things, this has been kind of a back and forth for a long, long time, and that's whether or not cannabis use after work can affect job performance during the day. It's been endlessly debated, but studies, especially more recent ones and one a couple of years ago, seem to indicate that it doesn't have that much of an effect on job performance. One reason that there's been an argument about it is the way studies have been done. And the University of British Columbia found that most past studies on the impact of cannabis use on job performance were often flawed and biased. They just weren't well done. And the National Academies of Science, Engineering, and Medicine review came to the same conclusions. We just weren't asking the right questions. The authors write, beyond offering empirical evidence with regard to a topic at the forefront of a national and international debate, this study's findings highlight the need to move away from the broad historical conceptualizations of cannabis, i.e., have you ever used cannabis in the last week and a half, in favor of a more nuanced, i.e., trilateral, work-centric conceptualizations. And along those lines, in one study from a couple of years ago, researchers, instead of simply asking people whether they use marijuana or if they had used it in the last week, they would look at when they use cannabis in relation to work, and then they had supervisors rate the daily performance of 281 marijuana users for an entire year. And they found that cannabis use before or during work can have an effect on job performance. But there was no such correlation with after-work cannabis use. They did find that off-work alcohol use, we all remember what hangovers are like, could make a difference, but that in general, using cannabis after work was always preferable to alcohol.
It seems pretty common sense that those two questions would be very different. The general, have you used cannabis, and did you use it right before you came into work? Yes, that would probably make a big difference between those two people, how they acted at work.
Yeah, and you know, these are things that we're just coming across and we're just learning. And I think that's why it's important that on July 14th, Governor Jared Polis issued an executive order that declares that anyone who consumes, possesses, grows, or processes marijuana in accordance with Colorado law should not be subject to professional sanctions or professional license revocations. And this includes people who engage in marijuana-related activities in other states besides Colorado, quote, in a manner that would be legal in Colorado, according to the order. And Polis has ordered the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, the Department of Revenue, to ensure such protections, directing state agencies not to cooperate without a state investigations, quote, related to disciplinary action against a professional license, certification, or credential for marijuana-related actions that are legal in Colorado. And he basically did this just to protect jobs in Colorado. Everybody's looking for a job. And, you know, DORA and DOR, which are responsible for issuing license for dozens of cosmetology, engineering, combat sports, real estate, they have 90 days to work with the programs and the boards to establish and implement the new policies. I think this is really great. I think Polis's marijuana directives are similar to an order he recently signed about abortion. Stressing that Colorado would not comply with any outside investigations into reproductive caregiving in the state. And the marijuana order states exactly the same. Colorado is not going to cooperate with out-of-state investigations.
Interesting stuff. And you've got some other Colorado-related cannabis headlines for us as well?
You know, we've mentioned this slowdown in marijuana sales in Colorado over the last year. We've mentioned that several times, and the slide continues. Now, Colorado dispensaries in May sold about $147 million worth of marijuana. That's still a lot, but it isn't comparatively, because that's a 4.5% drop from April and a 24% decline from May of last year. So this is definitely very real. And, you know, the industry has collected almost $45 million in taxes less than it did at this time last year. But still, in Denver, there's an effort to add a city-focused version of a ballot measure that failed statewide last year. But it's continuing, and the effort is by MySpark Denver, and it would raise city taxes on marijuana by 5% by 2024. And the group that runs this ballot initiative wants to use the proposed increase to fund out-of-school learning opportunities for kids in Denver. Notable, you know, everybody would like to see that. I think I would like to see that. But really, to find that money in marijuana might not be such a good idea. It never was a great idea, but it might not be a good idea anymore because marijuana sales are diminishing. And who is that going to hurt? Smaller companies. That's really who it's going to hurt. And I hope that with this recent downturn that they try to find some other source to fund it, you know, and not go, oh, we can get money out of marijuana. And I just don't think that's the thing we ought to be doing right now.
Well, the cannabis game is certainly always changing, and we appreciate you keeping us in the loop, Leland.
Thanks a lot.
For KGNU, I'm Hanalee Myers.
It's time for Radio Nibbles, and John Lindorf is here to talk about his new guide to farm stands and more local food news. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Shannon, and welcome, everybody. You know, gather around the table here, get your coffee. This morning, I really want to talk about this under the radar. They're family-owned, irregular hours and stuff, and I realized that there was, you know, you can find the farmers markets and all that stuff. Farm stands are different, they really offer an opportunity to support local farmers directly. But they also have really cool stuff. And so in the Boulder Weekly last week, I put together the only guide that I know of to farm stands in Boulder County.
And we'll repost that on KGNU as well at news.kgnu.org when we post today's Radio Nibbles segment. And I have to say, it's a great resource. And it also focuses on, for example, some places specialize in eggs. Others have like particular types of vegetables. It's very, very handy. It's just the kind of thing I was going to ask you about. And you already did it.
For instance, Benevolence Orchard and Gardens. So you can drive past it and miss it completely on Jay Road. Wonderful vegetables, and they have a huge orchard there, which means they have wonderful honey. And it's really worth visiting. There's another place in Louisville that, it's right at 95th and South Boulder Road called Seventh Generation Farm. Wonderful little place. Eggs, produce, meat. There's more and more. Munson is about to open, of course, with the corn, the tomatoes are starting to come in. Olin Farms does a thing every Saturday. So I really, you should take a Saturday, get up early and make the rounds. You'll find vegetables you don't see anywhere else and food products from local producers. It's very community oriented and supportive.
Can I ask you a question that's just totally random?
Please.
I just might as well ask it on the air. So I had to go up to Estes Park over the weekend, and I have to go back again this next week. What's the best ice cream place in Estes Park?
Ice cream, I don't know. But there's a wonderful pie cafe there, and that you need pie cafe. But more importantly than that, they just opened a place called the Daily Donut. And they have donuts and ice cream. As far as a scoop shop goes, I'd have to actually do a little research, but avoid the world of jerky. It's just a whole room full of jerky.
Okay. Well, how about ice cream down the mountain?
For instance, so there's this New York scoop shop called Van Leeuwen. They're opening a shop in 29th Street in August. But they have weird flavors. Grey Poupon, Think of sweet mustard and Kraft macaroni and cheese ice cream. So there's a lot of novelty there. But there's a new Mexican-oriented ice cream shop in Longmont called La Marquesita. Crepes, ice cream, and the very cool Mexican frozen desserts that you don't get elsewhere.
All right. Well, let's talk about dogs.
Dogs, yes. Help me out here, folks. I go to these restaurants and people just walk in with their dogs, or they have a little dog in their bag at the table, or they let the dog run around. Now, a lot of people love it, and there's places like Romero's in Lafayette that have a place outside for people and dogs.
The keyword being outside.
Yeah. What I want to know is, do you love or hate having dogs at restaurants? And I hope you send your comments to nibbles@boulderweekly.com.
Well, on that note, what's the best thing you've eaten lately?
I finally got to eat last night with some very old college friends at Ashkara, Dan Asher's place. And he was there. And I got to say, it's just magnificent. Wonderful, wonderful hummus, freshly baked pita. A real attention to ingredients, and I was very impressed. And that's hard for me to do.
Well, you can read John's latest Nibbles column in the Boulder Weekly and listen to Radio Nibbles episodes every Thursday or online at news.kgnu.org. Please visit that website today. We'll be posting his guide to Boulder County farm stands. It's really a wonderful text.
Thanks for listening today, and be sure to listen to this week's How on Earth show. It's about land-raised salmon.
Absolutely.
If you love salmon, it's really interesting and maybe the future of that particular fish.
Yes, howonearthradio.org. It was a wonderful episode. It was a two-part episode. Yeah. That's all the time we have for today's Morning Magazine. I've been your host, Shannon Young. Special thanks to Christian Garibay, Luis Licon, Chiara De Mare, Alexis Kenyon, Rosanna Longo-Better, Hannah Lee Myers, Leland Rucker, and John Lindor for their contributions to today's program. Stay tuned for the Trends podcast. That's just after these news headlines from the BBC.